This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia Elsie Tuttle, and I read so many books. This is episode number 129, and today I'm going to talk about a couple great backlist titles that I am super excited about. But first, today's sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Dial Press, publishers of The Prospects by Katie Hoffman. The pressure cooker of minor league baseball leads to major chemistry in this exhilarating, sexy, and triumphant Rivals to Lovers debut romance. Gene Ionescu is the first openly trans player in professional baseball. He has nearly everything he's ever let himself dream of. That is, until Luis Estrada, Gene's former teammate and current rival, gets traded to the Beavers. Now, Gene and Luis can't manage a civil conversation off the field or a competent play on it, but in the close confines of dugout benches and roadie buses, they begrudgingly rediscover a comfortable rhythm. As the two grow closer, the tension between them turns electric and their chemistry spills past the confines of the stadium. So this is one of the first adult rom-coms published by a major publishing house centering a gay trans man by a gay trans man. It also has ADHD and anxiety representation and some joyful, heartfelt moments. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to The Dial Press, publishers of The Prospects by Katie Hoffman, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton & Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden, and thanks again to W.W. Norton & Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode.
Hi, everyone. Today I have a couple more nonfiction titles for you because, as you know, nonfiction is my jam. I just need to shove all the information into my head directly through my eyes. I have one that is an emotionally hard read, and then another one that is not as hard, but super duper interesting. I'm going to start with the more emotionally hard read, and the book is Hunger, a memoir of my body by Roxane Gay. I have many content warnings for this book. Violent gang rape, emotional abuse, eating disorders and eating disorder ideation, anti-fatness, verbal abuse, and self-destructive behavior, to name the majority of them. Hunger is a very difficult and intense book to read, but I find it very, very important. Roxane Gay is, in her own words, a woman of size. She wasn't always of size. When Roxane Gay was 12, she was violently gang raped by a group of boys from her school. She says she, quote, ate and ate and ate in the hopes that if I made myself big, my body would be safe. So there is a lot. This book from cover to cover is an exploration of trauma and the trauma of her body, what's happened to her body. When you are big, you are both invisible and highly visible all at once. Everyone has an opinion on your body, but few have consideration for you. Roxane Gay shares in painful detail how others tried to punish her for her body, and also how she would crave the punishment and even punish herself in certain ways. She begins by telling readers that, quote, the story of my body is not a story of triumph, and that while this is not a success story, it is a true story. A little side note, body positivity does not play a role in this book. This is not that kind of book. A large portion of the book is actually a rapid firing of abuse upon abuse as a person of size riding on airplanes, abuse from trolls on the internet, lack of consideration for ability when being a speaker, like, will the chair suit her body? How high is the stage? She also lays bare our society's normalization of the abuse of fat people on shows such as The Biggest Loser. As I said, I find this book to be such an important book to read. It can be so easy to look at a person or a photo of a person, especially when you don't know, and make judgments based on what you see. But you don't see their story, and no one sees your story. Hunger is Roxane Gay stepping forward and sharing her body's story. It is not always a happy one. She shows vulnerability in her honesty about learning to nurture both her body and her spirit. It serves as a reminder that we're all learning this and we're all at different stages in our learning. This book is also a very harsh reminder and wake-up call to be considerate of the reality of bodies of others. I read this book when it came out maybe a couple years ago, and I reread it recently to share it here on All the Backlists with you all, and it is just as powerful and heartbreaking the second time around. It is a phenomenal book. It's hard for me to say, like, I love this book because it is so hard and there's so much trauma, but I am so grateful that Dr. Gay shares her story, and I highly, highly recommend reading Hunger. So for a change of speed, the next book I'm going to talk about is Bored and Brilliant, How Spacing Out Can Unlock Your Most Productive and Creative Self by Manoush Zomorodi. Bored and Brilliant is another nonfiction book that I return to periodically. The premise is the supported idea that we need boredom in order to foster creativity, while at the same time, boredom is increasingly hard to come by, especially with our current level of access to technology. I want to make it very clear that Bored and Brilliant is not anti-technology. I love technology. You're listening to me right now using technology. Some of my reading is done with the help of technology. The author is also a fan and user of technology, but wants readers to be engaged with tech in a more deliberate way rather than the mindless filling in the silences or gaps in stimulation that happen in elevators, on public transit, and so forth. Zomorodi created the Bored and Brilliant Project in 2015 to try to find out, in her own words, if we changed our relationship to gadgets, could we generate bigger and better ideas? Would there be a ripple effect of changes to the way we work, the way we parent, the way we relate to one another? Could this change the way we see the world? It is a 7-step project that this book goes through, along with a bunch of research about boredom and how technology affects our brains. You can do this project along with the book, or after you read it. After you finish reading the book, go back and do the different steps. There's like one step each day, and it's a week-long project, and the book will guide you along. People who signed up for the original project noted several reasons of why they took on the project or why they signed up for the project, mostly that checking technologies such as social media, mobile games, etc., is constantly messing with their productivity, that they feel addicted to technology, and or that it might actually be affecting their health. One of the sections that really stuck with me was when the author begins discussing how technology has affected people's ability to do deep reading. That is, to pick up a novel that might be a bit of a difficult read and just sit and read through it without being distracted or constantly skipping around. The internet has changed the way we read, not only via language, but scrolling and hyperlinks is no longer the linear activity that it often was. Zomorodi learns that people are losing this ability to deep read. Like I said, to sit with a book or novel that is involved and also to focus and retain the information. As a reader, a writer, a librarian, a book enthusiast, and a book professional, this is terrifying to me. And kids who are growing up with this sort of access to technology aren't necessarily developing the deep reading skills that people my age had developed during childhood, because it takes many years to develop these deep reading skills. You didn't suddenly start, well, most people, I assume, didn't start reading novels when they were three. This brings me to the other section that really stuck with me, which is how tech professionals and visionaries like Steve Jobs limit or deny their own children access to tech. This alone is so telling and chilling, to say the least. She also quotes someone who said that the only people who refer to their patrons as users are tech people and drug dealers. So that is, it's very telling, like I said. I really enjoyed Bored and Brilliant. Like I said, I return to it typically at the beginning of the year, because by the end of the year, I'm definitely picking up my phone and looking at Instagram and Twitter every 2 minutes. So it's a nice little reset for me, and my life has been improved by reading this book. So that's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. If you're a fan of All the Books and you want to show us some love, you can leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other book lovers find us. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or baking or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter, Litzy, and Instagram at The Infophile, as in the lover of information. In the meantime, have a great weekend, drink some water, and happy reading.